Hello, and welcome to Preston.
Yes, here we are, Preston, Jodcast on tour.
The Jodcast. Field reporting at its finest. From the National Astronomy Meeting, Day 1.
Welcome to the National Astronomy Meeting 2007, Preston, University of Central Lancashire. Stuart, it's been an interesting day already.
It has. It's been, well, I think it's been a very long day. I'm quite tired already, and this is only the first day of the week.
Yeah, right. You just stepped off a plane or something like that from...
Yeah, I had a very long journey to get here for this, but it's been worth it. The meeting actually started at midday. There was a time for registration in the morning to allow everyone to arrive, and then from around...
There was a nice lunch.
There was a very nice lunch.
So I guess we should tell people what NAM is.
Yep, and here's Robert Massey of the Royal Astronomical Society to tell us more.
Well, NAM is this great meeting that happens each year. It's the National Astronomy Meeting, and this year it's bringing more than 520 astronomers from all over the UK to right here in Preston, which in itself is quite an achievement, I think you'll agree. But, you know, look around you. It's a crowded venue. We're here fairly late at night, and there's a lot of people around here. And most of the time, they're, believe it or not, doing quite a lot of the time talking about research.
Yeah, and they're also socialising as well. I think that's a large part of these meetings, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, of course, everybody wants to come to these things. They've done a day's listening to the talks and everything. They're feeling pretty tired. But the nice thing is that although it's on a completely different low level and obviously everybody gossips and all the things that you do because you're human and you enjoy a night out, people do actually talk a bit about the work they're doing as well. And that's why going out socialising is just as important a part of the conference as sitting listening to the lectures.
So all the best and the brightest in the UK are here to talk about their research.
We will be interviewing them throughout the week. We've already got a few interviews. We need to edit those.
So stay tuned. They'll pop up on the web as they become ready. To let you know what we've done so far, we've spoken with Scott Fisher from the Gemini Telescopes and also...
Lisa Green, who's the organiser of the International Heliophysical Year in the UK.
Yeah, and that was quite fun because we learned all about what's going to happen solar physics-wise this year. So you've been to a couple of sessions today. Which sessions have you been to?
Well, I went to the plenary session, which was the first session of the day. That was all about galaxies and... Actually, there's some very strange galaxies with all sorts of bizarre things happening that you don't normally think of. Normally you think of a galaxy as a disk or an elliptical galaxy, and you think of the disk as nicely rotating around. Mm-hmm. Some of these galaxies had... things rotating around one way and some things going the other way around.
When you say things, what do you mean things? Like
things
stars,
like gas or dust or stars. So in one particular instance, there was the gas seemed to be rotating one way around and the stars seemed to be rotating at 90 degrees to the gas as you see them on the sky, which is very bizarre, and I'm not entirely sure about that, but that's apparently what the data shows.
Anything else?
Yep, I went to a session on extremely large telescopes.
Oh, that sounds fun.
They used to be called OWLs, overwhelmingly large telescopes.
But now they're extremely large.
They're just extremely large now, not overwhelmingly large.
Oh, I see.
There was a fantastic quote from the first speaker who said, "They used to be enormous, now they're just half as enormous." Because basically, the original idea was a 100-metre-sized diameter telescope.
Right, that was the original overwhelmingly
large telescope. Mm-hmm. Which would be huge. It seems to have scaled down a little bit as people realise that it's going to cost an awful lot of money to build something that big, and it's very, very difficult.
So now they're just extremely large.
So now they're extremely large, which the specifications for the European design are between 30 and 60 metres, but nominally 42 metres.
We should point out that the largest telescope currently in operation, the optical telescope, is what, 11 metres? The SALT telescope? So 42 metres is a factor four bigger, so it's going to be...
Which means 16 times more area to collect light with.
16 times more mirror to clean.
Yep. Although I think these were going to be made up of many, many small mirror segments, a bit like SALT is, in fact. So tomorrow I'm going to talk to Isabella Hook, who was giving a talk at that session, and get her to tell us all about extremely large telescopes.
We'll look forward to that.
So what were you up to today?
Well, I went to the session on extrasolar planets, as is my interest. And that was fun because it was clear that in the next few years there's going to be a lot of interesting results coming in from the missions such as COROW, which is a...
That's a French satellite.
As a French satellite, yes, currently in orbit. It's currently just completing its testing phase, I believe. It's about to start taking data. And its mission is twofold. First part of the mission is to look for extrasolar planets through the transit method, whereby the planet itself passes between us, or the telescope in Earth orbit, and the host star. So if you stare at the star for long enough, you see the light dip.
So it's a bit like the transit of Venus in 2004 or
Mercury. Yeah, sure. If you measured the light from the sun during that transit event, you'll see the light amount dip ever so slightly. And this is what they're trying to do for millions of stars in our local neighborhood. And they're about to start pumping out data soon. And they expect to find, about 50 interesting events. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to find planets, but 50 events which possibly could be due to extrasolar planets.
Okay, so that's just a short roundup of what's happened today. It's been...
Fun,
yes. We have been recording some interviews. As we said before, we'll put those on as we go through this week. And we'll try to have an almost daily roundup of what's happened. That will depend on how busy we are.
Yes. So stay tuned for our next update. And perhaps one or two interviews, or as they become available, stay tuned to the Jodcast website.
So, we'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.